Worship him today in spirit and in truth. We want to welcome each of you to the fifth worship service of the Fifth Ward Church of Christ, especially those of you that are tuning in by way of our live stream, our social media platforms. Thank you for blessing us, those of you that are guests.
Amen.
We're asking all our members to make sure you check in and plug your attendance in the different avenues we have. And those of you that are guests and would like to receive our emails, receive our bulletins, you also can scan our QR code that's in our bulletin that pops up on the screen sometimes. And so we can include you on our email list, and we love to minister and communicate with you as soon as we can. It's just good to be here. Good to be here. Good to see everybody. We have enjoyed a wonderful month of revival from four wonderful, magnificent speakers who spoke on our theme, the season of sowing. And they just did a marvelous job of uplifting us, and we appreciate them so much. We appreciate your faithfulness in tuning in to our worship services here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. Boy, this is the first Sunday in October. We're beginning the last quarter of the year. Can you believe it? And our Bible classes are changing over. We have new Bible classes that will be starting up. And so we're excited. We thank God that we've come this far.
Yes,
we're still masked up, but that's all right. We're kind of getting used to these masks now. You know, we're kind of getting used to them. I think we need to get used to them for a while, you know, just to be in reality. But God is good. Boy, you know, we made some changes, didn't know we were going to be making. But we thank you for cooperating. I want to talk about heaven today. Is that all right? I want to talk about heaven. Is heaven really real? Is it really real? Now, I'm talking about heaven today. The Lord says the same. And so you know what I'm talking about next week, huh? If the Lord says the same. Yes. And so we're going to balance it out. We're going to start with heaven. Is heaven real? Next week, if the Lord says the same, is hell real? So you tell your friend, well, you might ought to tell them to tune into this one first. And then if the Lord says the same, that we can, I reserve the right to change my mind. But if the Lord says the same, the week after that, the one and only path to salvation.
Amen.
One and only path.
Amen.
And then if the Lord says the same after that, you know, I've had a month off, so, you know, the Lord says the same after that. I want to do a short series on the Bible. I've gotten a few questions from individuals who are challenging the Bible. The Bible, well, I won't go into detail, but that's kind of where my mind is right now. We sing a song, How Beautiful Heaven Must Be. You know that song? We read of a place that's called heaven. Sing it with me. It's made for the pure and the, yes, well, truth in God's word he has given. How beautiful a heaven, yes, oh, well, how beautiful heaven must be, sweet home of the happy and free. Fair heaven of a rest for weary. How beautiful heaven must be. Amen, amen. That was a study that was done not too long ago by a company called Pew Research, Pew, P-E-W Research. They crunched the numbers on trends that's happening in religion, take surveys and do some things. They have a website, and they did a study on a poll on heaven and polled some individuals, and they put out some statistics to say that 7 to 8 out of 10 individuals believe in a place called heaven. And I really thought that was encouraging, because, you know, in the world we live in, where there's skepticism and people who go to church, don't go to church, that they still believe that deep down in the heart, we want to believe in a place. please believe in heaven. And so it cries out that something deep inside of us that want to know that there is more than just living on this earth for 70, 80 years and having die, living and dying, and that's it. And I thought that was interesting that many individuals actually believe in a place called heaven, that there's a place better than this pain and suffering that we experience in this earth. Amen, somebody?
Amen.
And we're talking about the world, but you know, there's another fascinating statistic, is that not only do most Americans believe in the place called heaven, they believe that they're going to heaven. Many of them, if you took a microphone and went out in Houston, Texas, downtown, and polled some individuals and asked them, do you think that you're going to heaven? You know what most people are going to say? I think so. Most people are going to say, well, I hope so. Most people are going to say, I think I got a pretty good chance. And I thought that was interesting also. And I want to just this morning for a short time to put on our hearts, those of us that are Christians, those of us that are not, those of us that's just in this world, those of us just watching, those that may be seeking, it would be prudent for you to know what the Bible teaches about heaven.
Bible is right.
And I say the Bible because that's the standard that I'm using. I know that there are those who would refute some of the elements of the Bible, but you still need to know what the Bible teaches so you have enough information to make a sound decision on your life while you on this earth.
Amen.
And so if you don't believe in the Bible, compare the Bible to whatever else you do believe.
Right.
That's all right with you. So these are some Bible heaven facts. Some Bible heaven facts. Fact number one, the Bible clearly proclaims that heaven is a real place.
Amen.
It's a real place. Some of you know the passage in John 14, beginning at verse 1, when Jesus said he the night before he was crucified, he said, do not let your heart be troubled. He says, believe in God, believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions, are many rooms. He says, if it were not so, I would have told you, because I'm going there to prepare a place for you.
Thank you, Lord.
That's what Jesus says. We know that the place was not, it was not on earth. When Jesus said this, he said, a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm coming again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you will be. That's what he told the apostles right before he left. He says, I'm leaving, but I'm going to get a place ready. You're not in the place right now, but I'm going to get that place ready. I don't know about you, but that stirs my heart.
Amen.
To know there are some places that even on earth that many of us have never gone before.
That's right.
And just because you haven't gone there don't mean they still not there.
That's right.
You just haven't seen them yet. Amen, somebody? You know, one of the places that I went some years ago, and if you have the time, if you have the resources, and if you have children, it's a place that I would recommend you go and see.
Uh-huh.
It's called Disney World. It's called Disney World. You don't have to go there. Now, if you're older than me and you don't have no children, you probably don't need to be going, because it will wear you out. but I went at a time my children were, you know, kind of young and excited. They had commercials on, or Mickey Mouse would come on the TV and they would, Mickey Mouse. And we say, we got to take them to Disney World. And I'm telling you, it is a fan. How many, raise your hand if you've been there, if you've been to Disney World. Okay, quite a few have been. Isn't it a fantasy place? It's amazing that the imagination of somebody could create something so exciting, so visual, so memorable. Because once you go there, you won't ever forget it. And it's a real place. I hadn't been there, and I tell you what, we had to save our little change to go there. Yeah, I tell you what, if you go there, you better have more than some change. But it was a wonderful experience. Now I'll tell you what. Now I've been twice. I care not to go again ever in life. Because you got to be ready for that, boy. I'm telling you. But Jesus says, see, twice in this verse, he said twice in three verses, he says he calls it a place, and he's talking about his Father's house, and it's a real place, just like London. I haven't been to London, England. I have not been to the Holy Land yet. I want to go there one day. There are a lot of places that I have not been. I haven't seen. I've seen them on television, but London, you know, you do know that television doesn't do justice to many things.
Right.
And there's some places I've never seen before. And the scripture says heaven is a real, just like the city of Houston is a real place. It's a real place.
Amen.
Yeah, that's what the scripture says about it. And it's undeniable that the Bible talks about it. And you might ask the question, well, Brother Gary, who's in heaven right now? That's a good question to ask. The Bible answers that question in 2 Chronicles, right, in more than one place. 2 Chronicles chapter 60, verse 30. 2 Chronicles 60, 30. Then hear from heaven your dwelling place, and forgive and render to each according to all his ways, whose heart you know, for you alone know the hearts of the sons of mankind. God is in heaven.
Amen.
The scriptures say he dwells. It's his dwelling place.
Uh-huh.
It's like no other place that we've ever seen before. But God is there.
Amen.
My. So we know God is there. Who else is there, Brother Gary? Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. Chapter 3 and verse 21. 1 Peter 3:21 corresponded to that. I'm reading from the New American Standard Translation. Baptism now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is, notice this, who is at the right hand of God, having gone into where?
Amen.
Having gone into heaven. Jesus is not on this earth anymore. Jesus will not die on the cross again. Jesus is now in heaven, in the place of peace.
Amen.
That's where Jesus is. It says, after angels and authorities and powers had been subjected to him. Some of you remember the passage in Matthew chapter 28 when the Bible says, all power is given unto me, notice this, in heaven and on earth. It makes the distinction between these two places. But it says that the first time it's ever said in scripture, he said, not some power. Now, Jesus had some power when he was on earth. He could perform miracles. He could heal people. He could touch people. He could quote scripture. He talked to people. He did perform many miracles. But the scripture never said, but after his death, it said he had all power.
Amen.
I don't know who you're hanging with.
Amen.
I don't know who's your friend. I don't know who's allegiance. I don't know who you are seeking favor from. Because it seems like all of us, we want to connect with people. We want to be in the right group. I don't know what sorority or what fraternity you in. I don't know what club, organization you in. I don't know what family you in. But I know for me, I want to be connected to the one who has all the power. There is no better time that you can be spending than time getting to know Jesus.
That's it.
The scripture said Jesus has all the power. His work on earth was done when he rose from the dead. God gave him all the power.
Amen.
All the young people, I know you're intrigued by many things. You know, I'm kind of tempted to get on TikTok, Brother Ray. I'm kind of tempted. They tell me all the some of the young people say, "Brother, don't get on there because I'm on there." I remember when I first got on Facebook. I knew about Facebook, but I said I don't want to get on Facebook. But I heard some things, wonderful things you can do with Facebook. You know, it's a good platform if you use it right.
Amen.
And I remember the first time I got on Facebook. I said, okay. And I didn't know what I was doing. But I think I made a statement or something, and all of a sudden I got somebody saying, "Oh Lord, Brother Gary's on Facebook." and he said to the other people, "Y'all better watch what y'all say." And I say that because listen. Jesus is in heaven right now. I asked the question, is the heaven real? Now, let me ask another question. Do you want to go to heaven?
Amen.
He's in heaven at the right hand of the Father. The scripture says, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but notice what the scripture said. It says this. It says at the end of the verse in Ephesians, he says this. Excuse me, okay, having gone, who's at the right hand of God, verse 22, having gone into heaven after angels and authorities and powers had been subjected to them. Do you remember in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, the Bible says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against..." See, the word principalities, I'm going to cover this a little bit next week. See, the word principalities is really kind of referring to the demons and the levels of the demon, the demonic activity. He says, now, we wrestle not, we on this earth and we trying to get to heaven. You will not get to heaven without Jesus.
Amen.
You will not, we're not going to be Jesus, but we need his power. We need him to be on our side, because some things we fighting is not another person. You ever wonder why some people just do just crazy stuff?
Yeah.
And they just, you all these lunatics that come on television and they say, "Well, I heard a voice talking to me." And I know we in Christianity, we think you got to see everything, but these demons exist in this world. And they're making people do all kinds of crazy things. And the Bible says God gave Jesus all power. Even over the demons, the principalities, the rulers of darkness.
That's right.
And we need Jesus. If you can't fight the devil, you need Jesus to fight for you.
Amen.
And sometimes you don't even have all the answers for what's going on. If you're a child of God and Jesus is on your side, all I got to say is, "Lord, have mercy on me." And acknowledge that I know Jesus, who is in heaven with God, where I'm trying to be.
Yes, sir.
And we know Jesus is in heaven right now.
Amen.
And he watches all the activity that's going on.
That's right.
There are three that bear witness right now in heaven to everything that's going on. And that's where we're trying to go, is in heaven.
Amen.
I don't want to go nowhere else. I like mingling and seeing people, and you know. But I've gotten to the point in my life now. I'm old enough. I'm not. I know a man is a man. A woman is a woman.
All
it's
right.
Good when you know somebody that got some connections, but they not Jesus.
Amen.
They not Jesus. If I saw Muhammad, if Muhammad Ali's not live. If I saw somebody that I might want to get their autograph, but I'm not following their doctrine.
Amen.
And some of us, even as young people, we just worship the wrong people.
That's right.
We need to be admiring people who are living godly, trying to get where we trying to go.
Amen.
Amen, somebody.
Amen.
And I'm keeping my eye on Jesus. Why? Because he's in heaven. God is in heaven. Jesus in heaven. And that's where we're trying to go, and that's where we're trying to be. The scripture also says this. The scripture also says that angels are in heaven.
That's Bible.
Angels are in heaven.
Bible.
Let me say this else about heaven, because I'm going to end on time. Let me say this about heaven also, about Jesus. In Acts chapter 1, verse 11, the scripture says, and they said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus whom has been taken up from you into heaven." And see, I like, this is just my imagination, and this is just me, my littleness, my Bible hour person to the children. Heaven is up somewhere.
That's it.
Heaven is up somewhere. He says, "Why stand ye gazing up?"
That's right.
"For in like manner," the same way he went up, one day Jesus is coming down.
Oh, yeah.
Amen, somebody?
Oh, yeah.
The scripture talks about him leaving heaven when he get with, when God says time shall be no more.
Yeah.
And the scripture says Jesus is going to come with his mighty angel. Now let me go to my point. Mark chapter 13, verse 32. But that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven. The angels in heaven. Angels, kind of mysterious. You know, we're not angels. The angels, the scripture says, are servants of God.
That's right.
They have their own role. Amen. Right. They have their own role, but they're in heaven. Scripture calls them ministering spirits.
That's right.
He says, the angels in heaven with God, with Jesus, they don't know when Jesus is coming. It says, not the Son. The angels don't know when Jesus has come. Jesus don't even know when he's coming.
Yeah,
amen, somebody?
That's Bible.
Isn't that amazing?
That's in the Bible.
Jesus doesn't even know when God's going to say it, but only the Father knows when Jesus is going to leave heaven and he's going to come one day to claim his children, to claim the church.
Amen.
That's what the scripture says about Jesus. But I just wanted to make you to make the note. The angels are in They're in heaven. Oh, I could go on about the angels because it seems like we all have, it seems like Christians, especially children, have an angel that's watching over them.
That's right.
And but the scripture says the angels in heaven. Now listen to this amazing testimony. Listen to this amazing testimony in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1. Hebrews 12 and verse number 1. Therefore, since we also have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let's rid ourselves of every obstacle and the sin which so easily entangles us. And let's run with endurance the race that is set before. This is the encouragement that I have for all of us today. Because, you know, we just some busy people. We some busy folk. And sometimes I have to just catch myself. I'm serious. Because we get so busy and we forget about what matters the most. I mean, you know, we busy with our children. We busy on our jobs. We busy. We got our schedules planned out. We got our days planned out. We got our workout time. And we busy playing. You know, we play more than we work. We got all of these clubs and all of these leagues and all of our recreation. And Lord, I mean, don't even talk about our vacation that we've been planning for 10 years. And we just busy playing. Oh, I got all this stuff to do. Oh, I got all this stuff to do. And the scripture reminds us, it says, let's run with endurance the race that is set before us. He says, rid yourselves of every obstacle and the sin that so easily entangles us. It says, looking only at Jesus, the originator and perfecter of the faith. Notice, for the joy set before him. You know what kept Jesus motivated when he was on this earth? You know what kept him focused while he was on this earth? Is Jesus recognized his mission. And he didn't forget where he was going. The scripture calls it the joy that was set before him. Jesus knew that after he completed his mission, that no more pain, no more misery, no more folks rejecting him, no more fussing with folks, no more trying to get people to do what they don't want to do.
Amen.
He kept looking at, Lord, just let me get to the finish line. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
And I know, I hope I'm getting wiser as I get older.
Right.
I hope I'm getting wiser as I get older. I think I'm talking wiser, but I hope I'm living wiser.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm recognizing that time is getting shorter and shorter and shorter,
right.
But I'm hoping I'm learning how to focus on the things that's gonna get me to heaven.
Amen.
And sometimes we get so busy, boy. You when you're young, you chasing a boy, you chasing a girl, you chasing your career, you trying to be this and be. And Lord, I wish I knew this when I was younger. That I ought to always make time for God.
That's it.
Always. There ought not be, and that's why parents, we train our kids, because you train the kid. I'm always talking about my kids and talking to grandkids. Every time you know, you say, "Well, now make sure you say your prayer before you eat," and you have to actually tell them to do that. Amen. Yeah. Most of them don't do it on their own. After a little while, you make sure. Boy, they sit down and eat. They just. Hey, who pray? Oh, I forgot. And sometimes we as grown folks do the same thing.
That's right.
We forget where we're trying to go.
Amen.
We forget what we're trying to have. And as we get older, we ought to recognize. We ought to recognize this world is not the place.
Amen.
I'm telling you, it's a futile. It's a fruitless bag. Because you get one thing together, something else fall apart. Amen, somebody?
Right.
Yeah, you. Oh, bro, I'm going to school. I got my degree. Oh, Lord, I graduate. Now I got that job. Now it's not the job you want. Oh, you find that job? Oh, this is the job. And most people, you know what they say? They say most folks who go to school and get their degree, they're not working in the area that they. Because we're living in this world. And you better put a bigger goal, better than a job, or a boy, or a girl, or a man, or a woman. Because there are so many who would testify that the man or woman I got ain't the one I. You hold on to that. Oh, don't you say nothing while you sit next to your man. Let me finish this. He says, who enroll in heaven. Notice this now. He said, no, excuse me, I'm skipping my verse. He said, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. The crosses of life. The crosses of life.
Amen.
I wish I had a better word for you. But in this life, we got a cross. Yeah, we have a cross to bear. If Jesus couldn't get away from the cross, you think we're going to get away from the cross?
No.
I don't know what your cross is. I don't know what your cross is.
Right.
You know, some of you may not ever get married. Mm. But I'm not gonna say that. I'm just.
Amen.
I mean, you know, ain't no need in sugarcoating this.
Amen.
Some of you may not ever get married.
That's right.
Now, bro, you could say that easy because you married. I know. I know. You right. I thank the Lord blessed me with the wife that I have. I thank the Lord for that, but I, you know what? I know a whole lot of folk who married who wish they never got.
That's true.
Hello, somebody. Amen, somebody.
See,
marriage might be the thing that keeps you out of heaven.
Amen.
See, that's why we got to trust in God.
Amen.
We have to trust in God. Because, you know, I say, Lord, I used to pray, you know, my daughters, I'm like, I hope they find a good husband. I hope they find a good husband. But boy, after I started dealing with these rascals out here, I, you know what I started praying? Lord, give us strength. Give them strength. Because I don't want to get, and give me strength because I don't want to hurt one of these. I don't know what your cross is. You know, it seems like some of us have more health issues than others.
That's right.
You know, is there an answer for that? Is there an answer? I don't know. Some of us have more health issues than others. You know, I played football, and, you know, I did all of that. And, you know, now I'm getting old. I'm, you know, got one surgery, finna have another surgery. And I sometimes say, oh, Lord, don't let me break down right now. I got a little bit more to do. But then I look at other people and I say, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Things are not worse than they are. And so I don't know. Some of you individuals in our church, we have so many members that have cancer. Can I say this while you have your sound mind, while you have your faculties that you are able to think and make decisions? See, if that's your cross, then you thank God that things are as well as they are.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
And you trust him even more. Job got to the point. I know you read the book of Job and you read it on your own. I don't know nobody, physical person in the world, in the Bible, that suffered more than Job, besides Jesus Christ.
Right.
I don't know, lose all your children, all your money, and did it in one day.
Yeah.
I know, I don't think I can handle that, but I don't know. You know, we don't know what we can handle.
Amen.
But Job says, though he slay me,
yeah.
That's what he said. He says, though he slay me, yet I'm going to trust him. And I got, if you read, go to the last chapter, you say, did it pay off for Job? Job had more than he had in the first place.
Amen.
That's why you got to trust God. Don't trust people. Don't trust your girl for girl. You need to just, I just give up. Don't you give up on God.
Amen.
For the joy that is set before he endured the cross and despising the shame and has sat down at Jesus is at rest, at peace, no more suffering.
Amen.
That's what we're trying to get to that real place, heaven. Listen to Hebrews 12:22. But you have come to Mount Zion. This is, he's talking to the church. He said, now, you know, in the Old Testament, it was Mount Sinai. They come to Mount Sinai. But see, heaven is compared, it's called the New Jerusalem.
Right.
Now you've come to the New Jerusalem. You're not in Mount Sinai. On Mount Sinai, they couldn't get too close to that mountain. It would thunder. It would roar. They were so afraid. They couldn't come near God. He says, you come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, to the, listen to this, this is us, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled.
Amen.
In heaven. We're talking about heaven today.
Amen.
Now listen to this, because I got to extend the invitation.
Amen.
See now. Now, heaven is a real place.
Amen.
God, Jesus, the angels are there.
Right.
And we're not there yet.
Amen. Amen.
But if you go into heaven, you got to be enrolled.
That's it. That's it. Amen. That's Bible.
See, that's on earth. And now some people even, I don't have time to get into it. I said, some out here, even some of us in the church, daddy gone, mama, dad, but he in heaven resting with God. Well, we need some teaching on that.
Amen.
Now he might be at peace.
Amen.
He might be at rest, because when you die, you can't change your destiny.
Right.
But God, Jesus, the angels we know from the scripture are in heaven.
Amen.
Where God dwells.
Amen.
All the rest of us better be enrolled so we can go to heaven.
Amen.
You see, it's to the General Assembly,
Amen.
The church of the first. This is your invitation. This is an invitation to anybody who, if you are questioning in your mind whether or not you enrolled in heaven, you probably not enrolled.
That's right.
And so this is for you. This is for us.
Amen.
If you want to go to heaven, you got to get enrolled.
Amen.
And you get enrolled by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Notice this, obey, not talking about it, not thinking about it, not saying, I got a pretty good chance of going to heaven. If you think you got a pretty good chance, you don't have a chance.
That's right.
Amen, somebody? And he writes this, now under the Old Testament, it was Mount Sinai. They couldn't come near. But he uses this term that says we can come nearer to God now in the New Jerusalem. He says, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a New Testament, and the sprinkling of the blood, which speaks better than the blood of angels.
Amen.
He uses this Greek word to come near. Under the Old Testament, they couldn't come too close.
That's
under
right.
The New Testament, we can be nearer to God.
Amen.
While we in his church.
Amen.
And so the invitation is, if you have not obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which is able to save our souls.
Amen.
That makes us, listen to Philippians, that was read in your hearing, Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven.
Amen.
Citizenship means our permanent residence, our permanent dwelling place.
Right.
Our destination is in heaven.
That's it.
I remember when KB and I, we were looking to buy a house in and you know, buying a house, boy, is a big decision. It takes planning, research, And we looking all over different places, you know, to buy a house. And I was just, man, we finally at the point where we could afford a house. You know, and we were looking all over all different places trying to buy a house and didn't know where we were. And we were looking for the best deal we could find. And we finally got the place, the house, the one that we're in right now. And I remember when I kind of picked the house and took KB to it, you know. And she loved it. And I remember when we got the keys and went in that house and it wasn't nothing in it, you know. And I remember the feeling that I had said, Lord have mercy. Because we had been in some other houses before, you know. But you know, until you secure that you're in the house that you can pay for, those other houses, I was hoping I could stay in them. But we were in a house. It was the place. I remember the feeling, I said, Lord have mercy, just bless this house. Felt like we could plant our feet. And we sing a song, this world is not our home. We're just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond. And I know we got, some of us, I'm living, I want to enjoy myself while I'm here. I do too. I want to enjoy life, I want to enjoy the children, I want to go some places and go on vacation. But I hope we understand that this is not our permanent dwelling.
Amen.
And you know, and now, Lord have mercy, I don't even want it to be my permanent dwelling. Because after you're in a physical house for a while, you have all kind of issues, don't you? Pipes burst, foundation repair, everything break, cracks in the walls. You got to paint it. You got to cut the grass. I want to go somewhere where there's no more grass cutting. I don't know about you, but I want to go to heaven. Lord have mercy, I want to go to that real place.
Amen.
And if you're here today and you're not enrolled, if I'm not enrolled, I don't think I'm enrolled. I'll be at Brookhead. Tell me how I'm going to tell you how to get enrolled. It's so simple. I thank the Lord that see, you know, when you're buying a real house, you got to go through this credit check thing. That stopped a whole lot of folks from getting housed. Credit check. And you gotta have some money in the bank, and it gotta be your money. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Yeah, you gotta have history. But God is so wonderful. Do you know the passage in John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever. See, I thank God that you're not God and I'm not God, because that's some folk we wouldn't even let in heaven. There's some folk that's so bad, that's so messed up. We would not even talk to. And God reaches for everybody.
Amen.
And you're watching. Whether you are watching by social media, you're within reach, you're within driving distance. If you need to be enrolled in heaven, you hear God's word. You've heard a portion of it today. You hear the good news that Jesus Christ came, he lived, he died, and he is coming again.
Amen.
You must be willing to repent of your sins. Sin is what brought Jesus to this earth. It was sin. Sin is transgression against God's word. Can I ask you a question? Have you ever sinned?
Amen.
You lie, that's your first sin.
Amen.
All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God.
Amen.
If you're willing to confess with your mouth what your heart believes, what are you confessing? That Jesus is the Christ, the one and only. Nobody else replaces him. He has all power, and that's who we want to be connected to. And you're willing to be baptized to complete your obedience. Notice as you obey the gospel, you complete your obedience through baptism in water for the forgiveness of all of your sins. And guess what happens after that? God performs this wonderful act. He writes our names in heaven. That's what else is in heaven. There's a book that has the names of the saints in heaven.
That's Bible.
And if your name is not written in heaven, well, Brother Gary, I got so much wrong in my life, and I got all this stuff wrong. I got all of these problems. Bring them to God.
Amen.
He can take care of them. He can wash all of That's your right. sins. Who would not take that wonderful?
That's right.
And if you want to get it in heaven, that's how you get your name enrolled.
That's right.
And we want you to come right now.
Please.
We had
please.
A baptism on
please.
Yesterday. A young lady, Brother Ray, was at the funeral that you preached for Sister Hubbard. She was at the funeral. Brother Ray Wilkerson preached Sister Hubbard's funeral. She heard the gospel. Brother Ray, she tried to get to you after the funeral, but everybody put their mask on, and she didn't recognize who was who, and she couldn't get to you. And Sister Hubbard planted the seed in this young lady that you need to get your, you need to get it right with God. She planted that seed before she died. She died. Brother Ray preached to her funeral, and that seed was planted. Because after that, it nudged her heart. She called Sister Hubbard's sister, daughter, and so daughter gave her the number to the church. She called this church and says, I want to get baptized.
Amen.
And she came here yesterday.
Amen.
And we baptized her in water. I don't know if Katisha is in here right now. They live in Conroe, but I know that they're watching right now. And she was enrolled into heaven. Somebody else can do the same thing today. If you're here and you have a prayer request, won't you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?
Somebody's knocking at your door. Somebody.